Life Conversations Radio. Be the change you want to see.
Hi, I'm Mark Victor Hansen. I want you to be listening to Life Conversations. My friends are running it, and they do the best hosting on the planet. Enjoy the show.
Life Conversations, the radio show, is dedicated to empowering its listeners spiritually, emotionally, socially, and financially. The radio show provides the platform for the stimulation of thoughts, conversations, and ways of being that allow listeners to explore and examine what it is they believe and decide whether what they believe is keeping them stuck and disempowered or empowering them to live their best life.
When I was young, I knew something was wrong. My mother would forget to pick me up from school.
Drugs and alcohol may make you forget your problems.
My mother got help, and because of recovery, she is here for me.
Hi, Mom.
You ready? Let's go.
For drug and alcohol treatment for you or someone you love, call 1-800-662-HELP. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
What would happen if you didn't follow the established path? Would you feel scared or proud? Could you explain that helping the people of Peru improve their own community would also have an effect on your own? Would you rather make your own way or spend a lifetime saying, what if? Life is calling. How far will you go? Peace Corps. To find out more, call 1-800-424-8580 or go to peacecorps.gov.
Hey, this is Jenny Cressman. I worked in the field of woman abuse for almost 20 years, and I want to give you something to think about. I don't generally like labels, but lately, I've begun to feel that one little label is really important to embrace. Feminism. There, I've said it. The new F word. For too many people, that's a dirty word, but really, feminism is about equality. Feminists seek greater social, political, and economic equality of the sexes. It's about raising women up to the same level as men. So, I'm an F-word. How about you?
Life Conversations. We dare you to live your best life.
Hi, this is Jack Armstrong, author of Lessons from the Source, a spiritual guidebook for navigating life's journey. You're listening to Life Conversations Radio.
In the world of my creation.
life I know to compare with pure imagination. Living there, you'll be free if you truly wish to be. If you wanna be.
On the playground of life. Thank you again for joining the Best One Play experience, where we are all one with all truth, all beauty, all justice, and all love. At the top, you heard George Brillin's Pure Imagination, You can find his wonderful music on E, D as in Victor, E, O, N, music.com. Followed by my playmate that we have here today on the playground, Jackie Tice. You heard Blue Coyote. And then that awesome, magnificent piece there that I love so much, One Nation. We all need to be on this beautiful land, this earth. Continue our theme this month of Earth, our wonderful mama. The light sustains us, also gives us climate change. But it moves. Sometimes, if you really work with it, desire to embrace all good and full gratitude for all our experience, knowing that they're all there for us to experience a new atmosphere when we decide to allow more climates, more different climates come into our playground. Our world begins to fill up to the brim with wealth, health, joy, and success. So I want to bring on my guest right now, Jackie Tice, American Cherokee, and
Hello?
Eastern European songwriter. She's an artist, an educator, a film composer, and an international peace advocate. Jackie combines and connects her diverse roots skillfully, tracing through song and story the delicate and relationship of both nature and human nature. Welcome to the playground, my playmate Jackie.
Hello, my dear Ambassa. How are you?
Yes, yes. How are you? Wow, it's been so long. Can I get a hug?
there it is. You got it. You got it, sister. Yes.
Thank you. Thank you. Now, I gave a little bit about you, but let's get the real skinny. Let's get the real story. Who is Jackie Tice? Spill a bean.
Yeah. Well, you probably need about another 53 years to hear that one. It takes about.
That's okay. Let's compact it a bit.
Yeah, I think we have. I think it takes us a long time to get to know who we really are after we get done trying to be who we think we ought to be.
Yes, indeed.
And for me. For me, I feel like at this time in my life, and maybe it has to do with moving into the second half of my life, or maybe it has to do with changes in the earth, the turning of the calendars,
mm-hmm.
The beautiful changes that are going on, although they are also hard to get used to in terms of the climate,
mm-hmm.
I feel as if you know the social mask that has been who I've been been for many, many years is just kind of really thinning out and coming into who I am as a human being and accepting my humanity. And what I'm doing right now is really transitioning my life in a lot of ways. I'm backed off from performing so much and more working on we're working on building bridges into other more active, socially active places, as opposed to just utilizing the music as a vehicle for
mm-hmm.
change. I'm writing more, and I'm also being I'm constructing a career in public health and in community
mm-hmm.
health,
mm-hmm.
and
okay.
And actively developing the capacity to work with bigger populations of people to just facilitate change on a more personal but also then extended level because it reaches into communities.
Yes, indeed. It's like, how far? I did a piece called "How Far Does My Love Extend?" You know, how far does it go beyond my friends, my family? How far will I go? You know, how far will we decide to go? You know, when we want to shine our souls for the world to really see who we are. I feel like it's a time where all of us are, you know, we're being exposed whether we like it or not. So we can choose to be transparent. We can choose to decide to, you know, let people see us blunder and look like this or look like that and be okay, because it's not really, of course, our business how other people see us, as much as it is how we actually are viewing the God in ourselves, the Creator in us, you know. And our theme this month is the earth, and it's talking about just all of that, the relationships that we have with the earth and everything that's on the earth or in the earth, around the earth, you know. And as you said in your song, all races, all colors, everything, one nation. It's a beautiful thing. I want to know, and I've wondered this, Native American Cherokee. I have Lakota in my roots, and I've always wondered. I never got to actually experience being around the culture, the Native American culture. I don't know whether you have or not, but I really wanted to know, how does that affect you and your responsibility that you've taken on with the earth, around about the earth and the things of the earth? How does that affect your relationship with the earth, being Native American?
Yeah, well, first of all, it's the relationship that I have to my cultural and ancestral relatives and really my birthright is pretty strong in my life. I mean, we have a very, very defined spiritual path, that the center of that pathway for all nations is built around the concept of all my relations. It's built around the concept of we are all related. And at the end of the prayers of all the nations, no matter which of the over 350 languages were spoken on this Turtle Island when it was discovered by the Europeans, all of the prayers and all of the cultures were built around this concept of we are all related. So whether you are Lakota, you say Mitakuyasi, whether you are Cherokee, you say Hididasali, you know, whether you are Hidatsa and you say Nukwagesa, you know, it doesn't matter. They're all built around this construct. So now, personally for me, it is a matter of, it's the center pole of my life. So therefore, when I, you know, the relations are not just those that are our brothers and sisters in the two-leggeds, The relations are the relatives that are the four-legged, the winged, the standing nation, the tree nation, the stone people, the rock nation, the creepy crawlies, we call them, okay? The insects world. The ones that are also the unseen ones, the little people. You know, all of these ones are our relatives. The grandmother Earth is the mother. She is the one that upon which we all have found a way to come to relate to one another in the physical.
Mm-hmm.
So we all know each other on the energetic and the interdependency of life. We have to feed from the earth. The animal nation, certain of the four-leggeds are, you know, they provide us the sustenance. When they die, they provide the winged one sustenance. When, you know, all of these ways, the plant nation is, you know, feeds us. The circle goes around, you know, and our bodies then go back into the grandmother and then provide, the mother is the grandmother, when I say that, and then we decompose and we put nitrogen back into the soil and grow more things. So it's a circle. It's a divine circle.
Mm-hmm.
And so that awareness and that concept is really, since I was really very small, had this awareness of, sort of that circular motion. That is the seasons, you know, we can see it in the seasons, obviously, the trees go into the fall and the leaves go down and the trees, all the energy drops into the earth over the winter, and you can't get that sap out of those maple trees until the spring when those trees are coming back to life, and then that sap is running, you know, and it's... And then it feeds us, and the trees bear fruit, and then they drop, and then they decompose and feed the earth soil, and then the soil feeds the tree again, and it's a beautiful thing. And I believe in respecting that circle of life. So, therefore, we are not the ones who are the dominators of the earth. You know, we must work in concert with her. So the beauty of the Earth Day and the Earth honoring is that she is a living being.
Yes.
I mean, just look outside. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
She is alive. That's how we can see the growth. We can see the turning of the seasons. We see the death, and then we see the life again. So there's a breath. There's a breath in all of life that we have to honor. And in our culture and in the native cultures, you know, there is an inherent relationship awareness of that, because obviously, except for the last, you know, 150 years or so, even so 100 years, you know, there haven't been, you know, there's been such a connection to the land and such a living with the land, living on the land, whereas the Europeans, you know, it was always about constructing the land and the environment to be what you wanted it to be. Whereas indigenous people don't try to change it. They try to live in harmony with it in general.
Yes.
And so that kind of relationship, it's a different approach.
Yes.
And it is an approach that you carry into your whole life.
Mm-hmm.
Even talking, working with people, you know, the kinds of ways that you speak to people.
Mm-hmm.
know, mm-hmm. all of that carries, you know, that awareness that, you know, it's not really
yeah.
about me changing the environment. It's about finding a way to it coexist within it in a good way.
That's right. And it's a beautiful, that's what I was, and you, look, you answered all my questions before I asked you. And it's a beautiful, that's the connection, right? And I was going to, because I was going to say something about, you know, I had this thought earlier about nature and the earth and how you said it just now. Was you said it very beautifully about look outside. That tells you that the earth itself is always producing. It's alive. I mean, that kind of got with me. We're going to take a break in a minute, but I want to come back. I really want to talk about something that's really, really been intriguing me for a while now. So
okay.
I want to stay put right there, and we're going to talk about that when we come right back. Thank you.
Okay.
Hi, this is Jack Armstrong, author of Lessons from the Source, a spiritual guidebook for navigating life's journey. You're listening to Life Conversations Radio.
Life Conversations. We dare you to live your best life.
Life Conversations Radio. Be the change you want to see.
It's not always easy to see what is coming at you, or better yet, for you. You need someone in your corner who can help you navigate those blind spots. Life Coach Today has a unique ability to guide you toward clarity with compassionate coaching and an amazing sense of humor. As a coach for over 15 years, Life Coach Today has been working closely with people and freeing them to live their best life. If you are in a spot where your best friend's advice or family member's tips are not working for you, you want to step onto the playing field of life with a coach who will walk with you and support you in tapping into the best in you. When you are done with Life Coach Today, you will be the change you want to see. We'll give you practical tools to finally embrace all of you and empower you to step into your greater yet-to-be. For a 45-minute complimentary session, email Life Coach Today at ask@lifecoachtoday.com. That's ask@lifecoachtoday.com or call 678-561-0607. That's 678-561-0607. Be still, listen, and be transformed.
Did you know when the body is balanced, it heals itself? This is the guiding principle of Dr. Mark Armstrong. Dr. Mark is the founder of Ahimki Center for Wholeness. Ahimki is a wellness center that offers services and training programs that help you grow yourself. Ahimki is a word which symbolizes our commitment to honor the sacredness of all life and our respect for the vital force that flows through all living creatures. We seek to teach and heal, and thereby express our love for mankind, the earth, and the infinite universe. Ahimki Center for Wholeness services include acupressure, foot detoxification, Reiki, iridology, massage, Ahimki Mind Management, which is a process that uses the natural rhythms of the body to balance the mind. It enables total well-being and getting the thinking out of the way so the brainstem can do its work, and much more. For more information, visit ahimki.net. That's ahimki.net. Ahimki Center for Wholeness, honoring the ancient practice of energy medicine.
Hello, this is motivational speaker Les Brown, and you're listening to Life Conversations. It's going to change your life.
Life Conversations Radio.
Giving a voice back to the community. To the community. To the community. To the community. To the community.
experience. That was my playmate, Jackie Tice, Into the Fire. If you want to get that, you go to JackieTice.com and she'll hook you up. All right, we're back.
Yes.
Yes, yes. So, you've heard of As Above, So Below.
Yeah.
Okay. Is that the way you describe it in Native culture as well, or do you have another way to say that?
No.
Pretty much the same.
I mean, it's really different. It's not as above, so below. So when you say that, how do you contextualize that so I can understand exactly what you're asking?
Well, it's when I was speaking earlier about the climate of things and, you know, the Earth's climate, how it relates to our climate, and really people taking note of their temperature. What are they feeling right now? Do you feel like a tsunami? Do you feel like a hurricane? Do you feel like a volcano? Do you feel like an earthquake? You know, or do you feel sunny? Do you feel cloudy? Do you feel rainy? You know, is it light rain? Is it heavy rain? You know, and in terms of really understanding that we and ourselves create our environment and what's around us. And, you know, when I feel as above, so below, I feel different things about it, actually. I never looked up a definition. I always took it to mean what it meant for me, you know, which is that what you see outside yourself is something going on inside yourself as well to match that. And so, you know, when you change what's inside yourself, then you can see something different outside yourself because your viewpoint changes.
Right. So it's like having a self. It's funny. I used to describe that as a self-centered worldview.
Okay. Well, that's good. And we used to think that self-centered was bad.
Yeah, exactly. You know, I always saw it as a self-centered worldview, exactly what you're saying, which is if I'm, mm-hmm. you know, if I can shift the paradigm or the way that I'm perceiving not only mm-hmm. myself but the world, then I mm-hmm. can change. I can affect change within the world by creating this sense of how living, and it's really very connected to what, you know, what sort of the stream of this channel is, which be the change you want to see, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Be the change you want to see in the world. So we focus on working on ourselves mm-hmm. so that we can then reflect that out. And basically, you know, drop the pebble in the pond.
Yeah.
The ripples flow. So the thing is that we're in a time of great technological and ecological change.
Mm-hmm.
So we're dealing with this sort of almost it's sort of like a meeting of the biosphere of the Earth biosphere, which is, you know, the plants, the living organisms, you know, and all the creatures and all the sort of geochemical things that are going on in the physical world, and then we have this sort of man-made technology that is bumping up against that and pushing the Earth towards, you know, what I consider like a midlife crisis.
Mm-hmm.
It's like the Earth is, you know, the Earth is like estimated to be like 3.5 billion years old, something like that.
Yeah,
and
something like that.
Yeah, so it's really humans appeared relatively late in
mm-hmm.
relationship to, you know, other forms of life. Humans have only really been there. I mean, if you think of it as a clock in the 11th hour, you know,
mm-hmm.
the humans have only been on board, like, you know, for the last 30 seconds, relatively. And
right.
So,
right.
But in that time, you know, our arrival as human beings has really pushed and utilized all these non-renewable resources at an incredibly alarming rate. And they're non-renewable because we know that, you know, the Earth has a certain amount of, you know, it's only made up of so much of this chemical and so much of that chemical and so much of this coal and so much of this oil. And, you know, it's like we have bodies, like the Earth is a body. So we mm-hmm. have so much, 7 pints of blood, you know, and mm-hmm. We have one brain and 2 kidneys. And so it's just so think, if you think of our us, you know, our human bodies and sort of project to the Earth, the grandmother Earth, as a body, she has a certain number of resources. So the idea is that, you know, if we're going to, you know, ransack the Earth essentially, then we have to be prepared for the crisis. We have to be prepared for what that means, and concurrently, we have to ask ourselves personal questions like, you know, is it really beneficial to do these things? Is it really mm-hmm. justified? Is it really justified ethically that we are, you know, that we're doing things? So bring it back to the microcosm and say inside of yourself, you know, well, let's see, I don't really eat Big Macs, but say you've got a choice, you know, between using, you know, this much plastic and this, you know, paper bag, for example. I mean, just bring it really low, right, really down to something simple. You know, if we aren't thinking about how that's going to sort of like flush out in the long term, just like when we, you know, decide if you drink alcohol, for example, you know, you decide to have a drink or two or three, you know, because you're feeling this or that way that night, you know, and how that's going to flush out of you. You're going to pay mm-hmm. for that probably. You know, well, mm-hmm. it's the same thing. It's the same thing. So in the context of, you know, as above, so below, if we think about that in that context, we can make more intelligent and compassionate decisions about mm-hmm. our lives, and therefore extend that to the way that we live, extend that to how we treat others, extend that to our decisions to, you know, recycle or not recycle, our decisions to drive the car, you know, from this part of the parking lot to the Target over there because it's like maybe like 500 yards instead of walking, you know. You know, things like that seem very simplistic, but really we're talking about pebbles in mm-hmm. the pond.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
All the pebbles in the pond are going to be reflective. Now, does that mean that we can imagine that everything's beautiful and everything will get beautiful again and we'll stop, you know? Well, we have to really do something along with all that visualizing. We'd have to actually cut down on
take
the carbon
action.
Emissions.
Right. Definitely take action. And you know, that whole, well, I didn't get to ask my question yet, so I'm about to ask it. All right, rain dance. Have you ever experienced a rain dance?
A rain dance, I know what that is. I don't participate in rain dances myself, but
okay, but you do know about them. Can you tell me about it?
Well, it's a funny thing about these kinds of ceremonies because because I'm just going to say to you, as Ombasa, that I will put you in touch with someone who's been there, because I do not want to speak. These ceremonies are sacred. It's like this Sundance, for example. You know, these are sacred things. And,
okay.
And so in that context, because it's a public forum,
right?
I don't feel comfortable, especially since I have not experienced arraignment. I certainly would not talk
right.
about that. But
well,
I will put you in yes. touch with a brother of mine who will talk to you about
okay.
that. And what and
not
why is it that you're why is it so you're interested
well, let me,
in that?
Well, I'm gonna tell you. So no, now because I'm a ceremony queen, I wouldn't be asking you to tell me what happens in the ceremony. Okay. What I was asking you about was back to the climate of things, okay, mm-hmm. and how as above, so below, and how the essence of the rain dance, the idea that you can bring rain is what I want to get to. The idea that you can put that energy out there to do something like that, like bring rain, is the same way that you can put that energy out there to heal the earth. You can put that energy out there with that dance or with that energy, and collectively, when it's done, how powerful that is. That's where I'm going with that. And I really feel that, you know, once we all begin to embrace that power that's within all of us as the indigenous people, the aborigines, all the indigenous people are closer to the earth, and that's where I'm going with it, and I want to hear, that's what I want to hear about in terms of how you relate to all of that.
Right. Well, I can say that I have seen this. I have seen these things happen, and
mm-hmm.
that we think of every aspect of the earth having energy, having a conscious
mm-hmm.
like it's what we call consciousness, but what is really more appropriately referred to as a spirit.
Yes.
And so, for example, the tree people, you know, they have a spirit.
Yeah.
There's a spirit. Okay, the fire. There's a spirit that lives in that fire. The thunders. The thunders
mm-hmm.
are a spirit. Okay,
mm-hmm.
the thunder beings. The rain.
Mm-hmm.
as a spirit, okay? So the earth, the water, the fire, the wind. You've heard these concepts in many cultures, okay? So that spirit of these, what we call elements, and if you think about the word element, it really does kind of, it's the sort of lowest common denominator of life. We need
mm-hmm.
these things to survive.
Yes.
And these elements possess spirits. So can the spirits be spoken to and communicated with? The answer to that, in my experience, is a yes.
Mm-hmm.
Do the spirits of these elements hear and honor our requests at times? The answer to that, in my experience, is yes.
Yeah.
Have I witnessed that? The answer to that is yes. So,
mm-hmm.
so in the indigenous cultures, this is common knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
It's a funny thing because it's uncommon in the culture that is the mainstream culture, right?
Mm-hmm.
There's no connection, and that's because we're like in general, the culture is really in general cut off, you know, from the elemental aspects of life. But those spirits that exist placed within the elements of life are there to help us to navigate this playground.
Yes, right. Playground.
Yeah, this playground of this grandmother Earth, the sacred playground. Let's say that right. Sacred, beautiful, fun, living playground.
That's right.
And so, if we connect with those and communicate enough communication, can those spirits turn things around?
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to say to you that there are indigenous people right now, doing ceremony to help to bring these things about. There's actually a tribe of people that came out from Colombia to Turtle Island to up here, who they consider themselves the keepers of the earth, and they came up here to specifically do exactly what you're referring to, which is basically open the portals of the earth so that the prayers could get in easier, our prayers, our thoughts, our positive energy is more effective. They're working with the spirits, all the spirits of the elements to make this happen. So. So, yes, the answer to your question is yes.
Yes, and that's a hallelujah. Yes, thank you so much. That was very powerful. I was going to ask you, before we wrapped up, what did you want to leave people with? But I'm putting a pin in it because that is what I was looking for. And you gave it to me. Mwah! I really love and appreciate you. Thank you so much for coming today. I'm going to have to bring you back because we definitely did not have enough time today on this playground. I hope you're willing to come back.
I will. Boss, it's so good to hear you. Thank you so much for inviting me to come and communicate and just be present with you and do this thing that you are help you to reach and fulfill your purpose and bring your delight out.
Yes,
more.
Bring my passion full forward. That's right.
Yeah,
that's
right.
What we're about, passionately loving and appreciating ourselves, and I appreciate you. Thank you so much, Jackie. I look for you again now. I'm going to be looking for you on the playground. All right, lovely.
Okay.
Be blessed.
Okay, love you. So long.
Love you too. See you later. All right. That was so powerful. I'm so thrilled. This month is really, really going very well. And next week, we're going to have Russell Washington. He's going to do a two-part series next week and on the following week. So you come back and you join us on the playground on this wonderful play experience, this big playground of life. I fully enjoyed myself thoroughly tonight. Oh, my Jackie, I love her. She is just such a beautiful, pure spirit, and I love her. So I thank, and I love you. Thank you for coming, and I will see you next week right here on this play experience, this playground of life. Mombasa out.
Do you see your eyes when you look at me? Do you hear your voice when you hear me sing? Well, I know now that we are one. When I'm hurting you, I am hurting me. When I'm loving you, I am loving me. I know now that we are one. 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 There is no separation, 'cause we are one. When I'm judging you, I am judging me. When I'm praising you, I am praising me. I know now that we are one. When I'm fearing you, I'm afraid of me. When I see God in you, I see God in me. I know now that we are one. 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 Well, there is no separation, 'cause we are one. Now do you see your eyes when you look at me? Now do you hear your voice when you hear me sing? I'm hoping that you know that we are one. 'Cause there is no separation, 'cause we are one.
Life Conversations, committed to assisting you move from where you are to where you want to be. Have courage, make that move.
Hi, I'm Mark Victor Hansen. I want you to be listening to Life Conversations. My friends are running it, and they do the best hosting in the planet. Enjoy the show.
Life Conversations Radio. Be the change you want to see.